All right, so we're holding on Bays on the Bays, second line from the bottom. We talked about, so the Mishnah told us that an egg that's laid on Yom Tov, Machlokas, Bishama, Bishillel, whether you're allowed to eat it. And so far we have two reasons why Bishillel should say it's Osir. One is Rav Nachman, that it's a matter of Muktzah, and that Bishillel holds in that regard, like Rav Yehuda, who's Machmer on Muktzah. And the other was Rabbah, with his concept of Hachana de Rabbah, that food for Shabbos or for Yom Tov has to have been prepared beforehand, and since the egg finishes developing inside the chicken from the day before, so we're talking specifically. So the actual din would apply only when Yom Tov or Shabbos, or when Yom Tov is right before or after Shabbos. And the Drabbanan, we also include the cases where a regular Yom Tov comes out in the middle of the week. Okay, so more reasons why we should say the egg is also according to Bishillel. Rav Yosef Amar Gzeirim from Peiros HaNoshrim. Rav Yosef says that the Gzeirah has nothing to do with Mukta, it's sort of to do with Mukta. It's a Gzeirah because you're not allowed to eat fruit that fell off the tree on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and so therefore, by the same token, then you're not allowed to eat the egg, because the egg coming out of the chicken is similar to fruit coming off a tree. So on the face of it, what it means is that fruit falling off the tree itself is Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. We'll talk about in a second what about the fact that it wasn't Mukhan before Shabbos. We'll get back to that point in a second. Anyway, so it sounds like that's Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, and then we have an additional Gzeirah to support that and say the egg. So Amalei Abaye, Peiros HaNoshrim, Chaim Amai. So Abaye says, what do you mean though? After all, the only reason why you wouldn't be able to eat fruit that falls off the tree, Gzeirah Shemiyalav Yitlosh, because the Gzeirah that the Chachamim made, because otherwise you might climb up the tree and then detach the fruit. Well, then he goof a Gzeirah. So it comes out that itself is a Gzeirah. V'anan nekum v'nigza Gzeirah l'Gzeirah. Or we're going to make a Gzeirah on top of a Gzeirah. The Chachamim don't do that. Rashi points out at the bottom of Bays on the Bays that the idea is, since the Pasuk says, how do we know b'chlal that the Chachamim have the ability to make Gzeirahs? Is because the Pasuk says, u'shmauti mes mishmauti, you should guard my garden. So that means, in other words, they need a mishmeres for the Torah, not a mishmeres for another mishmeres. They don't make a Gzeirah to support another Gzeirah. So how do we do that? And the answer is, kol achad gzeira, according to that, we would say it's all part of one gzeira. The Chachamim made a rule that anything that comes off its parent on Shabbos is also, so that means fruit that comes off the tree, and it means an egg that comes out of a chicken. We're going to talk about later on Daf Vav, so that if an animal gives birth on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, then you're allowed to shecht it. So that's a different matter. We'll talk about that then, what the distinction might be. Anyway, Tosfos points out, wouldn't you have a different reason anyway? It wasn't Mukhan before Yom Tov, and we just talked about yesterday that food has to be Mukhan. It can't be that it's off limits, and you're not allowed to pick it on Yom Tov. So automatically, the fact that it was attached to the tree before Yom Tov keeps it off limits for the entire Yom Tov. So Tosfos discusses that, again, you have Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon about the whole matter of Mukta. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you wouldn't necessarily say that concept that because it was Mukta at the beginning of Shabbos, therefore it's Mukta for the entire Yom Tov. Therefore we need the reason that it's a separate Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. And then Tosfos goes into some length that the fact is that even while it's attached to the tree, sure, you yourself can't eat it on Yom Tov because you're not allowed to detach it, but birds could eat it, and that might be considered enough for it to be Mukhan. It doesn't necessarily have to be that it was Mukhan for human consumption. There are a couple of other explanations among the Rishonim on this. One of them is that the Balamur, I think, says that when you have something which, yes, it's off limits at the beginning of Yom Tov, but you fully expect that it's going to be available later on Yom Tov, then it's not Mukta to begin with. And over here, we're talking about the kind of fruit that very often falls off the tree. we could be talking about the kind that very often falls off the tree. So you have reason to think that it's going to become available during Yom Tov, and it wouldn't necessarily be mukta were it not for the gzera, were it not for the gzera of Pedas HaNoshrin. And another, the Ramban says another thing on it, that when do we say it's mukta? Only if you did something to make it mukta. Here you didn't do anything because it's growing there on the tree by itself. So again, therefore you wouldn't necessarily say that it's also just on the grounds of having been iskatsari because it was set aside at the beginning of Shab, out of mind, at the beginning of Yom Tov because it was attached to the tree because you didn't do anything to make it that status. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara is saying that ultimately, the fact that you're not allowed to eat Pedas HaNoshrin is a gzera, and so Rabbi Yosef is saying that gzera, to begin with, was meant to include eggs that are laid on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yitzchak says another reason why, here, we just walked in time, we have Rabbi Yosef and then Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, gzera mashkin shazavu. Another reason is a gzera because the chana made a gzera because it might be confused with liquids that flowed out. Namely, if you have grapes or olives if you have a pile of grapes or olives that you were intending to press, and then juice flows out of them on Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink that juice. Because the Chachamim are concerned that if you're allowed to, then you might actually squeeze them, and then you'd be over on the Malacha of Dosh. So therefore, the egg over here is similar to that. Now, in what way is an egg being laid similar to juice that comes out of foods? There are a few different possibilities that the Rishonim bring up. One of them is that after all, the Meiri talks about, he says that, the liquid is right there inside the egg. The egg is laid, the whole thing inside of it is liquid. So therefore, in a way, it's similar to liquid that's, at least when you have with certain kinds of fruit, the liquid that the Gemara actually discusses in some places, when you squeeze a fruit, is it that the liquid is konus, like it's all in one place inside the fruit, as though it was like inside a container, or is it that it's dispersed among through the flesh of the fruit, and you're actually squeezing it out? So here the liquid of the egg is very much like that. The Rashba says another thing on it. He says that the thing with grapes or olives is you expect to be able to squeeze them, and therefore we're saying that if you're allowed to drink the juice that comes out of them, you yourself might come and squeeze them. The point is, in other words, that you have something to gain from squeezing them, because ultimately you want you want wine or you want oil. Here, if the chicken doesn't lay the egg, adrabe, you're suffering a loss, because as long as it's not laying an egg, it's not going to be able to lay the next one. Therefore, there's more of a reason to consider it, as the Gemara is going to say, part of the gzera of liquids and fruits. Anyway, so Amalei Abayas, again, Abayas says to Rabbi Yitzchak, if you're telling me that it's gzera mishum mashkin shazavu, in other words, that d'oraisa, you'd be allowed to drink the mashkin shazavu. D'rabbanan, you're not. And then we have another gzera to support that one. Again, you have to say, my time, what's the reason it's also? Gzera shami yischoi, there's only a gzera d'rabbanan because you might come to squeeze the food. Again, he go for gzera, that itself is a gzera. Ba'anan nekum v'nigz gzera l'gzera. Are we going to go and make a gzera l'gzera? The chacham don't do that. And again, the answer is, kol achod gzera, again, it's all one big gzera. And therefore, when the Chachamim made the Gzera, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that you're not allowed to drink the juice that oozed out, then it also includes, at the same time, part of that Gzera was that you're not allowed to eat eggs that come out of the chicken. Okay. So far we have four reasons why the egg should be osur. Rab Nachman's reason because of Mukta, Rabba's reason because of Hachana, Rab Yosef's because it's like fruit that falls off the tree, and Rab Yitzchak's because it's like juice that oozes out. So now let's figure out why we need four different answers. So the Gemara says, Kula could Rab Nachman like Amri, the other three Amri Roim don't want to say like Rab Nachman, Ki Kushyam, because we have our question that we asked before on Beis Hamidrash, that according to Rab Nachman, if the whole thing is because of Mukta, then why are they only arguing about the egg? Why didn't the Mishnah said, Tani Golos of Eitzasa, or something to that effect, which wouldn't be much longer, and it would highlight, on the one hand, how far this Shammai is going and being Makel, that they're Machir, even the egg, and on the other hand, how far this Hillel is being Machmer, where they're asking even the chicken. Where we said that we were talking about a chicken that was that before Yom Tov was not designated for shechting at all, were you expected to keep it only for the eggs? So none of them like Rav Nachman's answer because they you have to deal with that. And in fact, the Gemara had rejected Rav Nachman's reason because of that. And we said, Ela Omer Rabba, precisely because of that. Okay, could Rabba Nami Lo Amri, none of the other three Chachamim agree with Rabba. Hachana Leslahu, they don't hold of the concept of Hachana, or maybe they're not, they don't hold of it at all, but they don't hold that that should go so far as therefore to say that we're going to answer it on a regular Shabbos or a regular Yom Tov because of a Gzeira with that. Bechlal, as we talked about yesterday, this that was saying Hachana de Rabba, is it in fact really Daraisa based on the pasuk that he's talking about, or is it maybe only Dirabanan and only an Asmachta? So they may agree with the basic concept of Hachana, but not hold of Hachana de Rabba, but not necessarily hold that it applies in this circumstance. And vice versa, on the other hand, the Rashba adds, Rabba doesn't like Rabbi Yosef's and Rabbi Yitzchak's answers because the Gemara just asked on both of them, Abaya asked that it's a Gzeira or Gzeira. So okay, they're answering Kol Chod Gzeira, but Rabba considers that a weak teretz. Rabbi Yosef, my time like Omak Rabbi Yitzchak. So why Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak are both saying that it's part of a larger Gzeira on Peres HaNoshrin or on Juice. So why does Rabbi Yosef not accept Rabbi Yitzchak's position that it's about juice? Why does he say Dafka has to be related to fruit falling off the tree? The answer is Amalach Beitza Oichlo Peres Oichlo. The answer is because it's not the same thing. It's more similar to fruit off the tree. The egg is food. Peres that fall off the tree are also food. La'apukim mashkin de'lav oichla. Juice is not food. Juice is a drink. So therefore, if we're going to say that the Chachamim included the case of the egg in one of their other gzeiras, it's more logical to say that they included it in a gzeira about food rather than a gzeira about drink. By the way, of course, we would say, according to Beis Shammai, according to these last two answers, we would say Beis Shammai holds that it's not part of a gzeira. So the machlokes, the syllabus of Shammai, would just be, was this part of the gzeira on Peres HaNoshrin or on Mashkin Shazavu or not? Okay, so that's why Rabbi Yosef doesn't like Rabbi Yitzchak's explanation. But Rabbi Yitzchak, my time, I'm like, oh, okay, Rabbi Yosef. What about Rabbi Yitzchak? Why doesn't he like Rabbi Yosef's explanation about Peres HaNoshrin? Amalach, because I'll answer your Beitza Blua, because the egg has this in common with juice. It was inside the chicken. It wasn't outside and visible beforehand. Umashkin bluin, liquid is also the same thing. Like Poki Peres, the Maglu Rakaimi, as opposed to Peres on the tree, which are openly out there. And therefore, you can't really compare an egg coming out of a chicken to fruit falling off the tree. So that's that. So far we have those four explanations. So the Gemara says, "V'after Rabbi Yochanan Sava Gzeira Mishum Mashkin Shazavu." We can see that Rabbi Yochanan also holds, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that it's related to Mashkin Shazavu. And we know that did Rabbi Yochanan Rami, did Rabbi Yehuda, did Rabbi Yehuda Omashani. Because of when Rabbi Yochanan pointed out there seems to be a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, and then he pointed out the answer, and to have the contradiction in the first place shows that that we're talking about squeezing fruits for juice, because the first Mishnah that he mentions is about that din. So Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, Ein sechten saperes lahotzi mehen mashkin. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit to get juice out of it on Shabbos. So that would be the melacha of dosh. By the way, we have to ask, and Tosfos brings up over here, what about on Yom Tov? It's melacha sechel nefesh. So here we get to what we were talking about at the end yesterday about what is the scope of melacha sechel nefesh being mutter on Yom Tov. So Tosfos over here, and in some places, and it seems Rashi holds that way also, hold that in fact, Daraisa, there's distinctions within that. You are allowed to do malachas of Oichel Nefesh, but only certain ones, and only under certain conditions. In particular, one of the conditions is whether you could have just as well done it yesterday, and there'd be no loss of flavor or what have you. According to them, the distinction is Daraisa. According to the Rambam and some other Rishonim, it's only Dirabanan. What it is Daraisa, sure, you'd be allowed to squeeze fruit. Daraisa, maybe even you would be allowed to harvest fruit. you'd be allowed to pick it off the tree or whatever. But the Chachamim saw fit to answer such things where it could have just as well been done before Yom Tov. So for one thing, so a person doesn't spend his whole Yom Tov doing these kinds of malachas and not do Simchas Yom Tov. So over here, as far as squeezing fruit, so there the Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, but okay, the same dinim apply to Yom Tov as well. So ein sirtin as a peiros lahotzim en mashkin, you're not allowed to squeeze fruit to get juice out of it. V'im yotzu me'atzman asurin, and if the juice oozes out by itself, then it's also, again, because like we said before, xera, because you might come to squeeze it out yourself. The Gemara actually explains over there there's a difference between fruits that are nearly always squeezed, grapes and olives, ones that are often squeezed but not always, like various kinds of berries, and ones that are almost never squeezed. Tosim b'rimonim is pomegranates and then berries versus ones that are hardly ever squeezed at all. Yeah. Anyway. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's not so simple to say that the juice is osir. Im lo oichlin, if you have the fruit gathered together intending to eat it, then hayotzimahen mutter, then whatever comes out of them is mutter, because since you didn't intend to squeeze them, so therefore you weren't keeping them around to squeeze them, so there's no reason to think that you're going to. The im lamashkin, hayotzimahen osir, if you had them collected in order to squeeze them for juice, then sure, it's going to be osir. So Alma kol oichlin the Rabbi Yehuda oichla de efesu. So we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything that comes out, anything that comes from food is considered, like we said yesterday, oichla de efras. It's food that was separated, so it's not. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there is a gzera of mashkin chazavu, but he says that only applies if the mashkin were there, if it was there to begin with for the purpose of mashkin, not if it's oichla de efras. So in other words, it should come out according to him the egg, or if the chicken was there for the eggs, it should also be mutter. In fact, Tosfos says on Amud Beis that Rabbi Yehuda might say that Rabbi Shama and Rabbi Silla are not arguing about the egg b'chlal. They would both agree it's mutter. Anyway, so that's one Mishnah. Uraminu. Now I have a contradiction, says Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yechanan, because a Mishnah says in Eruvin, v'oid amr Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says, the first it's talking about, the earlier part of the Mishnah is talking about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Can a person make an Eruv Tchumen in different directions and have in mind that one should be for one day of Yom Tov and the other for the other day of Yom Tov? So Rabbi Yehuda says yes, because according to him, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are two separate Kedushas, which is a point that we're going to take up again in the Gemara later on. Then the Mishnah continues, V'oidomer Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Masna Adam Akakola shall pay this for Yom Tov Rishon. A person can make a tnai about a basket of fruit on the first day of Yom Tov, Oichla B'Sheni, and eat it on the second day. Namely, like this. You're not allowed to take Truma and Maisa on Yom Tov. We're going to learn that in the last parak. So now let's say he has this basket of fruit. He didn't take Maisa from it before Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the 2 days of Yom Tov, and even the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you can make a tnai. The first day you say, the first day you say, if today is a weekday, then I'm taking this basket and designating the food in Truma and Maisa on behalf of the other one. Then you set them aside. Then and if today is Kodesh, then nothing. The next day you say the same thing. If yesterday was, if today is Chol, yesterday is Kodesh, then today is Chol, I'm allowed to take Truma and Maisa. So therefore this basket is Truma and Maisa on behalf of the other one. And if not, then what I'm saying doesn't count for anything, but it's not necessary because I already did it yesterday. So one way or the other, one of the 2 days is chol, and then you're allowed to eat the fruit in the second basket. So Rabbi Yehuda says that works not only when it comes to this regular 2 days to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, he holds that applies, that works even with the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And v'chein beitzah shenol the tradition to ochav b'sheni. Similarly, he says an egg that was laid on the first day of Yom Tov can be eaten on the second day, implying, because again they're two kedushas, implying b'sheni in b'rishin loy. So only on the second day, but not on the first day. So you see, in other words, that so he says that something that comes out, even if it came out of oichol, would be osur. And so that was Rabbi Yechanan's question. But omashani Rabbi Yechanan mochlepes hashita. Rabbi Yechanan answers, you have to flip around the opinions. In Ein Seichin, so it's the other way around. Rabbi Yehuda would be the one who says you're not allowed to drink the juice that comes out b'chlal. Doesn't matter whether the grapes or olives were designated for food or for mashkin. And you leave the Mishnah about Kalkola, about Masna Adam Kalkola alone. The fact that umitkom rami lahu adadi, since Rabbi Yochanan is saying there's a contradiction between those two, shma mina chatzaimahu, that shows it must be based on the same reason. Otherwise, the answer is very simple. He says that the egg is also on the first day because of one of the other reasons, mukta or achana deraba or whatever. And now, Tosfos discusses actually when we say mukhlefes ashita, do we necessarily mean that we're flipping around the Mishnah about Mashkin Tzavu? Not necessarily. Tosfos says it's possible that also instead we might be flipping around the Mishnah about Kalkola. Because then it would come out that Rabbi Yehuda is assuring the fruit even on the second day of Yom Tov, and the Chachamim are saying over there that it's shtei kedushas, so you'd have a bigger contradiction. But then Tosfos goes on to bring from Shita Meivra. Ivra is a town in France where there was a yeshiva of the Balei Tosfos over there, and there's collections of Tosfos on various mesechtas that come from there. So he says that in fact, yeah, the Mechulafas Hashita would be on the one of the Kalkala, and as the Gemara itself is going to tell us soon, that Rabbi Yehuda is not talking according to his own opinion, he's talking about what the Chachamim would say. He's saying, myself, as far as I'm concerned, it's mutter, the juice is mutter even on the first day, like in the first Mishnah. But you're saying it's usur. At least though you should say it's mutter on the second day. So that's another way of reconciling the Mishnahs. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Ravina amar la'olam lo sefuch. Ravina says that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you have to flip around one of the Mishnayos in order to reconcile what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. You don't actually need to flip them around. Rabbi Yehuda in the first Mishnah about the Mashkin Shazavu is saying according to the Chachamim. He's saying so sort of the opposite of what Shita Meivra is wants to say about the Mishnah of Kalkala. So he's saying, Lididi, as far as I'm concerned, after the Baruch and Nami Sharia, the juice should be mutter even on the first day. Because after all, it's juice that came out of food. So there's no problem of schita because you don't expect that the guy is going to be squeezing these fruits. So therefore, there shouldn't be an issue with the mashkin. But according to you, that you want to say it's ulcer, shouldn't you at least agree that the second day of Yom Tov and even the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that it should be mutter, the shtei kedushas thing, because after all, it's two different kedushas, because the whole point why you have 2 days of Yom Tov is because sfeika the yoma. So sfeika the yoma implies that only one of them is Yom Tov. And the Chachamim answer him, no, it's only one kedusha, meaning, as the Gemara is going to discuss later on, that it's one thing with regular 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goldias. Sure, those are a matter of stuff. But Rosh Hashanah is different because sometimes even in the time of Beis Din, sometimes they would have Yom Tov. Sometimes they'd have Rosh Hashanah 2 days, as we're going to talk about further on Daf Dala Daf Hey. Very much as Man Groma now, a few days before Rosh Hashanah. So you can understand that, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda himself is saying that the juice is mutter. When he says it's mutter, he's saying it's mutter because he holds that he holds it's mutter, and in fact he would hold by the same token that the egg should be mutter even on the first day. This that he's saying it's also on the second day is only according to the Chachamim. He's trying to use that as a basis for logic against them. Meanwhile, in the case of the Kalkala, so Rabbi Yochanan is saying you have to flip around one of them to make two opinions work together, and Ravina is saying that no, in the case of the Mashkin Shazavu, he's saying that the Chachamim, why are you asking it on both days when at least you should be matured on the second day? So the point is, the reason why we brought this in, again, was to show that Rabbi Yochanan also holds that Rabbi Yehuda's reason, that the reason for the egg to be osur has to do with Mashkin Shazavu, because that's what brings up the contradiction in the first place. Okay. Another way of reconciling the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, where on the one hand he's saying that Mashkin Kezavu can be Mutter, and on the other hand he's saying the egg is also on the first day. So one was by flipping around one of the Mishnayos. A second is by saying that Rabbi Yehuda is talking with Divreihem Dirabanan. And now a third one, Ravina Brei Dirabolam, Pacha B'tana Gerlis, I met us for Gadol Beitzim. You're not talking about over here a chicken that was meant for Shechting, where then you could call the egg Oichel de Efras. We're talking about a chicken that was designated for laying eggs. Rabbi Yehuda L'taymeh is by Mukta. So fine, Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his own Svara. He does hold of a broader concept of Mukta, like we said yesterday. So therefore, the chicken itself is also to eat on Yom Tov, unless he had in mind before Yom Tov that he was going to shecht it. To bring up a point that you mentioned at the end yesterday, as we talked about what we say when we say you need hazmona b'peh, so that after that it brings in Shulchan Aruch. If you did something to be doichet, then you need that. And over here, I guess we would say, according to the order, the fact that you designated this chicken specifically for laying eggs amounts to being doichet, and therefore you need a maisa in order to make it mutter to eat. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say the egg is also, so nothing to do after all with Mashkin Chazavu. Okay. So the Gemara says Mesi. In that case, then I have, now the Mesi is going to be going back to again. So we have, let's go back now. Okay. So now we've explained Rabbi Yehuda. Now we've explained why Rabbi Yehuda says Mashkin Chazavu al Mutter. And on the other hand, he says the egg is also the first day. We have three different explanations why. Now let's go back to the four explanations of why the egg of our Mishnah should be also to eat on Yom Tov. Where again, the last two reasons were because it's part of Gzeira Dirabanan. We had Rav Nachman that's based on Mukta. So fine, the Gemara is not asking on him for one thing because we already slugged him up, and for another thing because Mukta, we could say, Rishonim say, Mukta is a strong enough thing that we could consider it almost like a Daraisa in this regard, and therefore say a Suffolk of it is going to be Osir. According to Rabbah, Hachon de Rabbah, again, as the Gemara is going to say, it's Daraisa, or at least the one way of looking at it is that it's Daraisa. The question is going to be on Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak. So Brisa says, Echad Beitza Shenol de B'Shabbos, Echad Beitza Shenol de B'Yom Tov, whether an egg was laid on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, then it's Mukta. Ein Metalt Lenoisa, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Loy L'chasas V'Esechli, you're not allowed to move it in order to use it to cover up a keli. So let's say you might put it on a small bottle to use as a makeshift bottle stopper. You also can't use it to hold up the leg of a bed. Now, how would you do that? So, in other words, it actually explained. You put it on end, and then you put the leg of a bed on top of it. Seems a little hard to understand how you do that without crushing the egg, but I guess there was a way you could do it. The Meiri actually has an interesting explanation on it. He says the mitta over here, we're not talking about, it's not a bed that you sleep on. He says a kind of keli that they use by the table, which has a rounded bottom. They have it full of water so that you can use it to wash your fingers between courses of a meal. Maim and tsoim, the Gemara calls it elsewhere. The vort is, though, you need to put something next to it to keep it from tipping over. So that would be you using it for the egg. And in fact, he says that in Arab countries, they still use such a thing, adayim azeh, and they call it chamita. So therefore, in other words, so it might not be hamita over here in the Gemara, but rather chamita. Okay, anyway. Whatever the case, so it's mukta, you're not allowed to. One idea is, by the way, if we're saying that the concept of eating it itself, we're saying that eating it is osur, but why should moving it be osur? So there's a few different explanations, one of them being, now Tadeva says, practically speaking, if you're not allowed to eat it, then it becomes mukta, because it has no use on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Anyway, so you're not allowed to do that. You are allowed to take a keli, like a bowl, and put it over the egg in order to cover it so it doesn't break till the end of Shabbos or Yom Tov. In fact, Rashi brings from Gemara and Shabbos that you have an opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak over there who says that if you have a mukta item, you're not allowed to move a different item in order to protect it. So our brisa would be not like that. Tosfos discusses that even according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you could have, let's say, where you're moving the bowl for some other purpose, sort of gufo, sort of makayim, and then while you have it in your hand, then you're allowed to eat. Anyway, the point is, Usfeka Asura, the Braisa continues, if you have a suffix about the egg, so what kind of suffix? So the Pashtus, it sounds like we mean a suffix whether it was laid on Shabbos or Yom Tov or on a weekday. So it's Asur, for reasons that we're going to discuss. The Imnis Arba Be'elach Kolon Asuras, and if it gets mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, even 1,000 other eggs, then it's not bottle, all of them are Asur. Now, why should the suffix be Asur, and why should it Asur if it's mixed up with a bunch of other ones? So I understand, according to Rabba, the problem is Achana have a Sveika Daraisa. Well, then it's a Sufik Daraisa, because Sveika Daraisa Lachumra. Such a Sufik would go Lachumra. So therefore, you have a Sufik, whether it was late on Yom Tov or on Erev Yom Tov, then it's going to be awesome. El Rab Yosef, Rab Yitzchak, Ta'am Mishum Gzeira. But according to Rab Yosef and Rab Yitzchak, it's only a matter of Gzeira. So Sveika Dirabbanan he. So it's only a Sufik Dirabbanan. And when we have something that's a suffix d'rabbanon, then we'll make on it. So why should we be machmir on this egg, which we don't even know if it was actually laid on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says omalei, but actually the Maharam says there's no omalei. There's no discussion between one amora and another over here. This is all part of the stomach of the Gemara. So Sefa Asan, the Suffolk Trefa, the answer is, you're right. When the Braisa says Suffolk Asura, it doesn't mean a Suffolk whether it was laid on Yom Tov or before Yom Tov. We mean a different kind of Suffolk, whether it came from a trefa chicken. We're there, it's a there, we're talking an Isu Daraisa, because Kola Yotzim in a Tomei Tomei. So the question is, Yehachi Ema Sefa, if you're going to say that that's the kind of Suffolk we're talking about, then the Braisa continues, Nisarva Be'elach Kulam Asuris, if they're mixed with 1,000, then all of them are Asur. So why should it be Asur? Why wouldn't we say the regular rules are Bittul? Bishleim Asafik Yom Tov Safik Chol, if you say that the Safik is whether it was laid on Yom Tov a weekday, sure, have a Dovash Yeshle Maturin, then the reason it would not be Bittul is because the Dovash Yeshle Maturin, because as Rashi says, why should you be relying on Bittul to be able to eat it now, when you can just as well wait 24 hours and then you'll be able to eat it beheter. So that's the reason Rashi gives over here. The Ran actually in the Dorim has a whole arichus where he explains the different reason behind davash yesh lematirin. He says the vort is that when you have something which is davash yesh lematirin after Yom Tov or whatever, it's going to be mutter. In effect, what you have now, it's harubas of min b'minon. Now you have in various places in Shas an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that min b'mina is not bottle. Fine, the halacha is not like him. But nevertheless, over here, when it's going to be mutter afterwards and it's going to be in effect minoy, then the chachamim, he says, the chachamim saw fit to impose this din even though they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in other cases. So in that case, we understand it's a davar sheyesh lematirin, v'chol davar sheyesh lematirin, afilu be'elof lei bottle. Such a thing is not bottle even in 1,000 for either of these reasons. Eli amit suffik trefa, but if it's a suffik, whether it came from a trefa chicken, davash ein lematirini. It's not a davash yesh lematirini. It's a regular case of davash. It's a regular case of a permanent iser v'ti bottle beruva. So it should be bottle beruva, like most other isurim. B'chitema beitz chashuvah hivle bottle. So you're going to answer maybe an egg is chashuv, and because usually eggs are sold by number, and then things that are sold by number are chashuv, and they're not bottle. That would work according to the opinion that when we say what's bottle and what's not, anything which is usually counted is not bottle. But if we say that the correct version of the Mishnah is, that we're going to quote in a minute, that said that the correct version is, this is specific things listed over there that are usually counted are the ones that are not bottle, Ma'ikamema, then what are you going to say? Eggs are not on that list. Namely, the Tanan. What are we talking about? The Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Orla. Now we know Orla is Osabana, so is Kalaya Kerem. So the Mishnah over there discusses various cases where something of Orla or something of Kalaya Kerem is mixed with others. And so the Mishnah says, Misha Hoyoloi Chavile Tilton Sho Kalaya Kerem. If a person has bundles of Tilton, Tilton in English is called fenugreek. It's also, they call it Chilba also. And in Yemenite cookery, they use it a lot. It's a plant. It has a sort of triangular shaped seeds with a sharp taste to them. Anyway, it's considered a vegetable. It's considered a vegetable or kidneys in halacha. So, like any other vegetable, you're not allowed to plant it new grapes. And if you do, then both of them become also b'hana. So if a person has bundles of tilton, show kalaya kerem, that are kalaya kerem, yidoku, then they have to be burnt because they're also b'hana. What if those bundles get mixed up with other bundles? Ba'acheres, ba'acheres, and then those other ones get mixed up with still other ones. Kulan yidoku, dirit Rameir. Rameir says you have to burn all of them because they're not bottle. Tosfos discusses over here, is that actually the case? Would we say acheres, ba'acheres? Are we gerdes that? Are we not gerdes that? Do we mean maybe the acheres v'acheres means not that some of the first batch was mixed in with the other, but that all of it was? So now the Isser is definitely in there. Anyway, so the mayor says all of them have to be burnt. They're all also b'hana. The Chum say that they can be bottle in 1 in 200. Usually most Isurim are bottle b'shishim, but you have certain Isurim, you have Truma, you need 100, and then Erla and Kalaya Kerem, you need 200. And in other places, the Gemara learns it from Sukkim. Because it's also b'hana, and the Gemara learns it from a Pasuk in Yechezkel, mina Mosayim, although I think it says that actually that whole concept is not Daraisi, even though we're bringing a Pasuk, it's really only on a Smachta. This that we're saying, by the way, Yalu, on the face of it, what it actually says over here, the expression, Yala Echad Mehem B'Yidolik, you take one out and burn it, and the rest of them are going to be Mutter. Now, a number of Rishonim point out, there's no need for that. When do we say Yala is really only when it comes to Truma? Because you don't want to deprive the Kohenim of what they should have had. So Gezel Asheva. But it comes to over here. All you're doing is burning it. Why should you have to take any of it out? And so they answer, in fact, Yutaka shouldn't. The Gemara is just using, and Rashi is just using the word Yala in the general sense of being bottled. Not specifically that you necessarily, so Rashi over here uses the expression, they have to take one out and burn it, but they say not necessarily. With the fact that the Gemara is using the word Yala, that's just because that's where by Truma, we use that word, where it really means you have to take it out, so therefore it uses the same phrase in other places also, even where that's not relevant. Anyway, so the Chachamim say that it can be bottle. Now, what's the underlying machlokas? Continues the Mishnah. Rav Meir says that anything which is usually counted is bottle. So therefore, this bundle of tilton is something that's usually sold by number, not by weight. Therefore it's chashuv. Dabash of a minion is not bottle. There's, of course, the famous thing about that, but that's the reason why Hashem counts the Jewish people again and again to make us a davar chashuv. Anyway, so the mayor says anything, including chavile tilton, that's usually sold by number, is not bottle. The Chum say that no, there are only six things that are never bottle. Rabbi Akiva agrees with the Chum's basic idea, but he says it's not six items, but seven. The Elohim, a goize perech, nuts of perech. So Rashi over here, Rashi explains that perech is a place. There are some Rishonim that explain that perech comes from the word like avodas perech, means something breakable. It means nuts that have softer shells that are easily breakable. So such a thing are considered more chashuv. Number two, rimone bodon. Pomegranates are bodon. Here everybody agrees that bodon is the name of a place. V'chavias stumas. Closed up barrels of wine, those have a chashivus. Once the barrel is open, it loses that chashivus, but as long as it's closed, then it's chashuv. The chilfei trodin, and the leaves of trodin is, in modern Hebrew, trodin means spinach. In the Gemara, it sometimes means spinach and sometimes it means beets. So whatever it is, the leaves of them are considered something chashuv. Actually, the Meiri has a different explanation. He says that chilfei trudin are a subspecies of trudin that are harder and hairier or something like that. Whatever, that they have more chashivus to them. Anyway, the kilchei kruv and stalks of cabbage, Rashi explains, particularly we're talking about over here, the cabbages that grew in Eretz Yisrael grew as big as trees in other places. So those have a tremendous chashivus. Udlas Yevonis, and the sixth one on the list is Greek squash, or Greek pumpkins. Rabbi Akiva Moisef Achikras Shabbal Abayis. Rabbi Akiva also adds a seventh thing, also loaves of bread baked by a Bala Bayis, which are larger, as opposed to ones baked by a commercial baker, are smaller. Anyway, there's and the Mishnah finishes off. Haroi la'orla la'orla. Of these seven things, only some of them are subject to orla. For example, orla only applies to trees. So it doesn't apply to the trudin and the kruv. So those are, and then the last yavonis. So the ones on this list that are, which are appropriate to orla, then we're talking about, if you have them of orla, then that they're not bottled. Haroi, kalayakerem, vice versa. You're allowed to plant other trees in vineyards. It's only vegetables and grain that you're not allowed to. So the ones on this list, the chilfei trudin and so forth, that are vegetables, those are the ones where this din would apply to kalayakerem. But the point is, only those things the Chacham say. The Itmar Allah. So now within Reb Meir's opinion, you have two different versions of what he said. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Es Shadarkali Manas Shininu. Rabbi Yechanan says that the wording is like we quoted Es Shadarkali Manas. Only the specific thing, only specific things that are usually counted. Only specific things that are usually counted. But Reb Shimon Lakish, I'm a kol shadak with imanas shininu. Reb Shimon Lakish says anything that's counted. So in other words, according to Reb Shlakish, there's more, according to Reb Shlakish, Reb Meir would say, then now everybody agrees, of course, that Reb Meir has more than the six or seven things on the list that are not bottled. But does he mean things that sometimes are counted and sometimes not? Or does he mean only things that are always counted? So, Hanichal Reb Shimon Lakish. So now, when we said before that there's a brisa that says that the egg that was laid on, that the suffix egg is not bottle, and we're saying so far that we're talking about a suffix of an egg from a trefa, fine, according to Reb Shimon Lakish, that could be according to the mayor. As he's saying, kol shadakali manis, as long as sometimes something is counted. So eggs sometimes are counted, sometimes not. So therefore, according to the mayor, they wouldn't be bottle. That would explain that. What are you going to say according to Rabbi Yechanan? Where Rabbi Yechanan says es shadakli manis only if it's always counted and eggs are not always counted. So according to the mayor they should be bottled. So why not? So the Gemara is going to answer that there is actual. So Omer Papa Hai Tana de Litrik Tiesu. The answer is that the Tana of the Braisa before about the Suffolk egg not being bottled, and we're saying that the Suffolk egg is referring to a Suffolk of a Trefa, is actually, that would be the same Tana as the Tana of a case in a Mishnah about Litra Ktsias, about a pound of Ktsias, of dried figs or dried dates. He says that whenever you have a davar shminyan, even if the isur on it is only dirabanan, then it's not going to be bottle. How much more so daraisa? So therefore, now we don't have to say anymore that. So now we don't have to say that the braisa before is talking about a suffix beitza shreifa. It could even be a suffix of some other kind of isur dirabanan. Nevertheless, though, we'd still say, according to that opinion, anything where there's a suffix isur on it is not anything where there's a davar shminyan, anything which is regularly counted, then is not bottle. And since eggs are regularly counted, then he would say not. Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish are talking about within Reb Meir's opinion where you're dealing with an isur daraisa. But this Tana that we're going to quote would say the same thing applies to isurim dirabanan as well. And we'll take up tomorrow, Bez Hashem, what that Mishnah says, and how we analyze it. Because it's not a barrier as long as it's not a barrier since it's not alive. You're right. We, a whole grape is a barrier. You're right. It's a good point. I don't know.
Yeah. What's the point?
The question was that Rabbi Berkowitz asked is why is the egg not considered a barrier and it shouldn't be bottled on those grounds alone? Because a barrier is not bottled, so then the Gemara hasn't brought up that point. I'm not sure. It's a good point.
A barrier is alive, an egg is not alive.
No, because as you just said, that's what I thought also. But no, because for example, even a grain of wheat or a grape or whatever is considered a barrier. So it doesn't have to be alive in order to be alive in order to be in that category.